400 top officials from the Chinese Communist Party have gathered in Beijing for what could be the most important political meeting in that country in over a decade. The third plenum of the Central Committee has played host to some of the most radical changes in Chinese policy history, including Deng Xiaoping's famous market reforms. The combination of China's new leadership and some necessary reforms make this one of the most anticipated plenums in years. But the meeting happens behind closed doors, so we may not know, even for many years, exactly what the plenum has decided on. Josh Nicholas spoke with Professor Kerry Brown, Executive Director of the Chinese Studies Centre at the University of Sydney.
Well, the plenums are a bit like annual board meetings or shareholder meetings for companies. So annually they get together the approximately 400 members of the Communist Party Central Committee. And these include provincial leaders, ministers, military leaders, academics, so they're across range. And so the plenums are opportunities to do two things. One is to assess how things have gone in the last year and to set the forward direction.
What are some of the big issues that China is facing that are likely to be in discussions?
The path to an urban China. So 50% of the population now lives in cities, but that's likely to increase in the next 10 years to 70%. So that's an enormous increase. But I think also it will involve decentralization of powers, housing, welfare, education, the household registration. All of these issues are at heart what urbanization involves.
This is going to be one of the biggest financial meetings concerning us, because there's lots of things on the table right now with China, with the interest rate stabilization. Should they do that? Should they try and push the renminbi out more? Do you think the finance is going to be a big part of this meeting?
Yes, I mean, the Shanghai Free Trade Zone, which was set up a couple of months ago, is very meaningful, though not much has happened at the moment, because that's going to be the way in which the renminbi, the Chinese currency, is internationalized. I mean, it will be in that kind of area that they'll start. What you're going to probably see economists really look at in this meeting is what's its time scale for integrating its currency with the rest of the world? I mean, the capital account, basically, because that's hugely important for us. I mean, like the finance minister here said, I think a couple of weeks ago, that we are really dependent on investment. And China having more ability to invest with a looser capital account immediately affects us at the moment. It's not so easy.
But China's also having a big problem with shadow banking, because they do have such low interest rates in the legitimate banks. Shadow finance markets is something that needs to be addressed, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's a question of political, you know, guts, really, because if you start to legitimize what is in effect non-state finance, well, then you are really into a different phase of capitalism. So in a sense, the government at the moment feels that it can control what it needs to. And if there's these sort of not particularly legitimate sources of finance, it'll live with them at the moment. The non-state sector in China is incredibly productive now and a good source of growth and a good source of employment. But it still lives in a bit of a political shadow world. And so the state sector has been very strong in the last 5 years and gets a lot of political support. That's the argument. Do you have state sector kind of support, or do you really put support into having a stronger non-state sector? So that will be discussed, I'm sure, probably not directly at this plenum because it's so sensitive. But in the end, it's really about where do you draw the lines between the state and the non-state.
One of the things that has been of increasing concern this year is the amount of debt that regional and local governments have. And especially in light of how China's economy is very investment driven, and it's probably going to have to start pivoting away from that. Is there much that this central government, this 400, can do to stop these local governments taking on so much debt?
I mean, lots of people say this local debt is a time bomb. While there is a dynamic growth, you have enough dynamism to sort of deal with this debt. So I think the tactic of this leadership is to try and deliver efficient growth, and that means tightening up this debt and making clear to local governments that they've got to be fiscally more prudent.
Wire reporter Josh Nicholas speaking there with Professor Kerry Brown, Executive Director of the China Studies Centre at the University of Sydney.